Let's turn together to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16, and we're just going to read the first three verses there, Proverbs 16, but our text is verse 3. So Proverbs 16, verse 3 is our text, but we're going to read the first three verses of Proverbs 16. That's page 630 in our pew Bibles. Proverbs 16. To man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. As far as reading God's Word, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we have the privilege of beginning together, not only as individuals and families, but as a congregation, beginning together the new year. And what a blessing it is that we have to gather together here into this house of worship, prayer, and praise, and be reminded that all of our ways, all of our plans, our future is in the hands of our Heavenly Father. Now, when it comes to this next year, we all have plans. But plans made in abstract can be dangerous things. Because as James 4 teaches, your life is like a mist, a vapor. Your plans can come to nothing. Your life passes oh so very quickly. Making plans, having plans for the future, does not guarantee that those plans will be carried out. Rather, as James says, when we make plans, we should say, if the Lord wills. If it is the will of the Lord, we will do this or that, go here or go there. All of our plans, our desires, our schemes for the future, they are all dependent on the will of the Lord. Well, our text is going to say the same thing, but approach it in a different way, in a positive way, where we are called to commit our ways to the Lord. When it comes to making our plans, we are to commit them to His hands. So what does this next year hold? Well, in this next year, if you look at the next 365 days, we think of many things that might possibly happen. We all have desires, things we want to see happen. Some of us are building a house, or some of us are planning to start a new job. Some of us have welcomed little ones into our home, and we plan to teach and train them. We hope that everything goes well, that they stay in good health. The farmers are planning to plant a crop in a few months. We plan to continue our labors. We plan to have good health to do the work that God has called us to do. Some of us plan to begin our marriages. Other of us plan to retire. There's all sorts of plans that everyone has here. But when we enter this new year, we have to acknowledge the fact that our plans are not ultimate. That we don't make our plans in abstract. We don't make our plans by ourselves, trusting in our own ability. So we consider this theme this morning, that whoever commits his way to the Lord will be established in his way. And verse 3 of our text says this: commit to the Lord whatever you do, or commit to the Lord your plans, and your way will succeed. So we begin then by committing. How is it that we are, as God's people, how are we called to commit? What does that mean to commit your way to the Lord? When it talks about our ways, we're basically referring to whatever plans that our purposes, our work, whatever things we have in our mind that we want to see happen or we plan on doing in this next year, our ideas, our desires, our decisions, our ways, whatever we plan to do. That's what this verse is talking about here. And we are told to commit these plans, our desires, our thoughts, our purposes for the future, to commit them to the Lord. Now, remember that the book of Proverbs is a wisdom literature. And as a part of wisdom literature, it's bringing together the path. How will the wise man live? What are the distinguishing marks of someone who acknowledges true wisdom? I mean, we know that Jesus Christ was given to us as wisdom incarnate. That if we have a heart of faith, if we are given a heart of trust, if we have a believing heart that trusts in Jesus Christ and a heart that submits to His Word, then we will indeed be wise. So the first way that we commit our ways to the Lord is by submitting our ways to the word of the Lord. We acknowledge that whatever plans we have for the future, whatever our ideas might be to the future, the first thing we need to do is we need to come before the Lord, specifically coming before the word of God, and say, how do my plans fit within the word of the Lord? What is the place of my desires, the things that I want to do, how does that fit with what God has said in his word? I could say this another way. The Bible is to be consulted before making your plans and taking actions. His word is to become, is to come to his word first and to accept what he reveals concerning his will for our lives. We pray that in our prayers, don't we? When we pray, your will be done, we are praying that we want to be given submissive hearts that acknowledge the revealed will of God. Lord, teach me to know how to walk, how to live. Teach me in this next year to submit what I want to what you say is good for me and for my life. As God's people, we'll learn to have a complete reliance and trust on God, seeking to bow the knee humbly and cheerfully. As loving, dependent children, placed in the hands of our confident Father, we acknowledge that all of our times belong to him. Now, this word commit that we have in our text, commit your ways to the Lord, the Hebrew term means to roll them to. So the idea is if you have a heavy stone in your hand, and you roll it from yourself, a burden, rolling it off your shoulders and placing it in the hand of someone else. To taking it from yourself and placing it into someone else's hands. To roll it away from yourself and to roll to another. So the idea basically is that our plans are like burdens on our shoulders. And instead of leaving them on our own shoulders, we acknowledge that our future doesn't ultimately depend on what we think is good, what we think this next year should be, but we take it off our shoulders and we place them into the hands of our Father. We deposit our plans into his loving hands. Now, we are a planning people. We all have an idea of what we not only want to do throughout this next year, but what we want to do throughout this next week and this next day. Some of us here like to make lists, and then we make lists that point to other lists that we do. We have this idea of this running flow chart of everything we want to do throughout a given day. Other people just wake up in the morning, and they know what they need to do, and they set about doing it. But this verse calls for a reordering. Instead of serving the master list that we have even on our mind or on a piece of paper, the reordering of the day means that first and foremost, we come to say, Lord, this is what I hope to do, this is what I plan to do, but I'm going to submit myself to you first, to rely on the Lord for success of whatever our pursuits and plans might be. So we start by submitting ourselves to what God says in his word, and then we humbly ask God to lead us throughout this day. By rolling our cares, our plans to the Lord, we are acknowledging that his plans and his purposes are better than our own, and then we pray. Committing our ways to the Lord means that we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, give me the strength to do that which you call me to do. We read earlier in Psalm 37, commit your way to the Lord and trust in him and he will act. Or 1 Peter 5, cast your cares on the Lord. In our prayers, we ask God to lead us, to strengthen us, to give us wisdom to know how to act, how to live, to give us the strength to do what we are called to do. So not only does it call for reorientation of our day, putting what God says in his word first before what I want to do, what God says is good, that comes first, but it also gives us a heart of consistent prayer. Committing your ways to the Lord is a call to prayer. So at the beginning of our day, we say in our prayers, Lord, give me the strength to do what you have called me to do in this day, but it also calls for submission. As James 4 says, if the Lord wills. The Christian acknowledges that whatever our plans might be, they can change. And that's okay, because I submit myself to God's will. That God's purposes and plans are higher, are holier, are better than my own, so I defer to his wisdom. Our committed plans, made by a submissive heart, whatever our committed plans might be, whatever we commit ourselves to do, we acknowledge they are always open to adjustment. Now that's hard. That's, at least it's hard for me. When we have a plan that we want to do, a certain schedule that we want to keep, and something, some wrench is thrown into it, and everything has to change, and there's these adjustments. I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to change when I have an idea of what I want to do, and something happens that stops it from being carried out. But a Christian that is committing their ways to the Lord must necessarily be open to unforeseen change, because it is a submissive commission, or a submissive rolling off our cares to his hands, because his ways are not our ways. Our plans aren't always God's plans. As Proverbs 19 says, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will prevail. So as a Christian, we have a confidence, a trust, a reliance. We could say that by faith we commit our works and our ways to the Lord. That yes, we have plans, but our plans are made with a submissive heart, so that if God changes what the future is, and if the future is not exactly according to what we had in plan, we acknowledge, we say, your will is good. We ask for God's blessing and guidance upon our work. We read earlier in Psalm 37, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord and he will act. Because the truth is, congregation, sometimes our plans are bad. Sometimes our plans for the future are simply wrong. We may plan to do something, to take this job, to marry this person, to grow this crop, to write this sermon, to raise this child. We have all plans for these things that we hope to do, but we need to acknowledge that sometimes my plans aren't best. That what I want to see done isn't for my good. And God knows that. So a submissive heart says, Lord, I want to do this. That's my desire. You've placed this upon my heart. But ultimately, I know that you have a good in mind, my good and your glory. Because I don't know about you, but if you look at this next future, not very many of us have in our schedule disappointments and delays. But it's safe to say that every one of us here is going to be disappointed in this next year. At some point, something we plan to do isn't going to happen. We'll get sick. We might lose our job. A crop might fail. Things don't go as we plan. So rolling our cares, our plans to the Lord opens us up to the possibility of saying, Lord, my plans are in your hands. And if my plans need to change, that's okay, because you're good, God. You're good. That takes the pressure off of us. But even our passage says this in verse 4. If you still have your Bibles open, Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord works out everything for his own end. The Lord works out everything. That includes disappointments and delays. The Lord works even through these for his good end. So we acknowledge that his plan and his purpose is good. And we can commit ourselves to doing the work he has called us to do with submissive hearts, knowing that sometimes our plans and purposes need to change in order for God's good to come about. So then, now that we know what it means to commit ourselves, to commit our ways, to cast our cares, to roll our burdens from ourselves into his hands, what is the benefit of this? What is the proverb say here? It says, and your plans will succeed. The benefit is that your way will be firm and certain. Now, to be established here, or to succeed here, means that our ways will be stable and that they will endure. That when we commit our plans, our purposes, our ways to the Lord, that they will stand the test of time. Now, we all know what it's like to have our plans shaken. Right? It's like the fisherman that goes out to fish on the ice, and while he's out there fishing, there's a change in the wind, and this ice moves, and all of a sudden he's on this flowing chunk of ice. What he planned on doing has all of a sudden changed, and his life is in sudden danger. His plans have come to nothing. But as long as our plans are submitted and committed to the Lord, ultimately, God says, your way will prosper. Now, we need to be clear. This doesn't mean that every plan, every purpose, every idea of a Christian will come to be. No, God doesn't work for us. His ways are not our ways. But what a blessing we have as Christians of knowing ultimately that our plan, our path, our purposes will succeed. Now, what I mean is this. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If all of your plans are made with an ultimate purpose of bringing glory to God and doing good to fellow man, or as the Presbyterians say, our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. If that is the master plan that we have for our lives, that if you look at your whole life, whatever happens in this next day, this next week, throughout this next month and this next year, the rest of your life, if ultimately you say, my chief end, my highest delight and desire is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, if my love for God is what motivates me and drives me throughout whatever I do in the daily operations, then God says your plan, your purpose, your desires will come to be. Because his purposes endure. We will be satisfied and all will work for our good and his glory as he promises. If that is our desired end, then Proverbs says, your plans will succeed. There's such freedom in that, isn't there? There's such a delivering aspect to this that it changes the focus of what we determine as success. So let's say for this next year, you have a plan of starting a business. Everything goes well for a few months, and all of a sudden the market changes and your business folds. Or you've been working hard at a company for many years, and due to downsizing or restructuring, you lose your job. Are you still successful? What is a success for Christians? What does it mean to have a successful life? A successful life for a Christian is to say, whatever happens to me, that I want God to be glorified, my ultimate good to be secured, that I would enjoy God and glorify him and enjoy his presence forever. If that's the goal of our life, then all these small, insignificant disappointments start to take on a different shape. That frowning providence ends up being for my ultimate good. In that way, we can see that trials and difficulties, delays, disappointments, sicknesses, even the death of loved ones is moving us beyond our limited, my kingdom, my desire, whatever I think is good, moving us beyond that to what God says is ultimately good. And doesn't that lift a weight from your shoulders? If something happens where what you wanted doesn't come to be, of what you planned to happen isn't carried out, that doesn't mean you're a failure. That doesn't mean that you have failed. Because God's purposes endure. We will not be disquieted. We will not be filled with fear and concern because all our ways are in his hands. Man has his purposes, but God's plans are carried out. When we view our day, when we view our life, when we view our future properly, we will find a peace and a comfort no matter what comes to us in our life. We know that our way, our path, our life will succeed because what we ultimately want is what God has promised. It will be for His glory and for our good. So in this next year, if you have prosperity or lack, if you have health or sickness, if your family and your house is filled with great joy or sorrow, if your studies succeed or a door closes, if you are promoted in your work or you lose your job, you can say as Lord's Day 10 does, when difficult times come, I'm patient. When times are well, I'm thankful. But for the future, I have a confident trust that nothing can happen to me apart from the will of my Heavenly Father. And if the will of my Father is for His glory and for my good, then my plans will succeed. If we learn to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not my own kingdom and my own glory. With this frame in mind, our spirits will not be troubled. As 2 Timothy 1 says, I know that God will keep what I have committed to Him. So if you commit your plans to Him, you know that God will keep them. And He will preserve and establish you. So then as we begin this new year, we begin by reminding ourselves of the ultimate purpose for our lives. God's glory. That I would enjoy fellowship with Him forever. When that's the ultimate purpose, when all of my other plans fall under the heading of my life is for God's glory, whenever those other plans need to be shifted and adjusted and changed and rearranged, you know what? That's okay. That's okay because ultimately I know that my path is leading to God's glory and my good. We can rest assured that we will receive the desires of our hearts. So Jesus Christ came to teach us how to know, to teach us how to love, and teach us how to serve God as our Father. And Jesus taught us not to be anxious about the things that come in this world because God holds us in His hand. And Jesus is wisdom incarnate. His plan for us is for good and not ill. So whoever commits his way to the Lord will be established and will have, as Proverbs says, their plans succeed. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for delivering us from the bondage of trusting in our own ability, our own plans. We thank you for delivering us from the slavery of trying to carry out our own plans and our own purposes of depending on our own ability and our own wisdom. We do pray, O Lord, that you'd give us hearts of submission, that in submitting in faith to Jesus Christ and to His Word, that we would acknowledge through Jesus Christ everything will be for our good and for your glory. We thank you that Christ has delivered us from the bondage of the self, the bondage of slavery to the things of this world that are passing in nature, and has redirected us to commit our ways, to roll our cares and concerns from ourselves and to place them in His hands. We thank you for giving us this redirection at the beginning of this new year. So we pray, O Lord, that you would give us hearts of submission by your Spirit, as you give us hearts of prayer by your Spirit, that you would give us hearts that acknowledge your will and your word, and that whatever comes to us in this next year, that we would say, it is for God's glory and my good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn